You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
What a song. What a song, Keith Alexander. One of my all-time favorites, and that is, of course, Silhouettes. That group doesn't get enough credit. They were actually the third biggest selling group of the British invasion, behind only the Beatles and the Rolling Stones.
But they were second wave British invasion, though, not in the first wave. Like the Dave Clark Five, the Rolling Stones, the Beatles, the Animals. They came in the second wave, but I will have to, and also they were consciously marketed as another Beatles group, just like the Monkees were the American Beatles group that was manufactured in the studio. Nonetheless, Peter Noone, the lead singer for Herman's Hermits, was a real talent. I'll have to say that.
I actually saw Herman's Hermits live in concert earlier this year. I've always loved them, and that's, again, always been one of my favorite songs. But so many songs. That Silhouettes, name them off.
No Milk Today. There's a Kind of a Hush. Let me see. What are some other ones they had?
I'm Into Something Good.
I'm Into Something Good. That was the first one. Yeah, that's right.
Wonderful World.
Wonderful World. The one that we were just
listening to. Can't You Hear My Heartbeat?
Can't You Hear My Heartbeat, yeah. And
Mrs. Brown, You've Got a Lovely Daughter.
And Henry VIII.
Of course. Who could forget that one? Anyway, that was 1965, Keith. Let me ask you this. As we welcome everybody to another live broadcast of the Political Cesspool Radio Program this Saturday evening, September 16th, is America better or worse off than it was when Silhouettes was a hit in 1965?
Undoubtedly worse off, but the rot had already started to set in, and the cancer was in and was beginning to metastasize.
Nevertheless, folks, always prepared and ready to serve our audience. I'm your host, James Edwards. Keith Alexander, we are ready to lead you through another live broadcast this evening that's filled with the one-of-a-kind commentary that you can't get anywhere else. Let me tell you what's coming up tonight. So this first hour, normally when we meet at the intersection of faith and politics here on the Political Cesspool, I save that for the third hour with Eddie the Bombardier Miller. We're going to let Keith sink his teeth into matters of faith and heritage this evening. That's going to be in the first hour, and we've got a blend of stories that we're going to weave together that I think we'll present to you in an interesting manner. In the second hour, a lot of people have been emailing us wanting our take on what's going on with Trump. Is the Trump train derailed for good? Is nationalism still ascendant and on the march? Well, yours truly, Keith, and Eddie the Bombardier Miller, who will be in by then, are going to offer our take on Trump, DACA, and amnesty. That's coming up in the second hour, and much more to come in the third hour after that. But first, let's take a look at this headline. White Christians are now a minority in America. Now, what we mean by that is, you take the percentage of whites, and that's in the 60s now, as opposed to the 90s just 30 years ago. It's in the 67%, somewhere around there, if you believe that.
And if you take away, if you take away 64,
64% maybe, and if you take away the Christian, the non-Christians from that, you get what you're left with is a minority of white Christians. So, what I asked Keith before the show started tonight, now that we're a minority, when do we start getting all the gimmies, Keith?
The answer to that is never. I've always said that the moment that whites become a minority of the American population. From that moment forward, minority rights will be a thing of the past.
Well, and here is what we've got here. And Adam Gray wrote the article. We'll read a couple of excerpts, lift a couple of passages from his piece that we reposted at thepoliticalcesspool.org this week. We've come a long way from Plymouth Rock in Jamestown, a long way down. On September the 6th, the Public Religion Research Institute released a report designed to gaslight people like you and me. Here's what it wrote. White Christians, once predominant in the country's religious life, now comprise only 43% of the population, according to a Public Religion Research Institute, or PRRI, poll. 4 decades ago, 8 in 10 Americans were white Christians. While this poll and the lying press are dancing a premature victory dance in the demographic end zone, so continues Adam Gray, the fact is that the twin plagues of increasing non-white share of the population and the increasing irreligion among white Americans have eroded the foundation of the American ethno-nation. The Trump movement, which won in 2016 with strong support from conservative white Christians, has shown that there is still plenty of old demographic power left in Americans. However, demography is destiny. Trump's election was a delaying action at best. For years, we have pointed to the increasing degeneracy in the old Protestant churches and watched as conservatives, moderates, and otherwise normal people left those beautiful pews to find pasture elsewhere. We have stopped having babies, stopped believing in God, and started inviting all of these third worlders into our country while coddling and facilitating the population expansion of third worlders already here. The left doesn't care about white people. The left is nothing but a revolt against God and nature. They hate God, and they hate people who obey the laws of nature, such as love for one's own people, heterosexual monogamy, protection of the unborn and children, and so on. Even many church leaders today are nothing more than lemmings of a vapid global corporate plutocracy.
Well, the biggest problem, I think, James, is that the churches are no longer bearing the true faith. That's what we point out almost on a weekly basis. They've exchanged the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John for the Gospels of Peter, Paul, and Mary. The cultural Marxist long march through the institutions has gone right through denominational headquarters, and this applies to every denomination, even Mormons and even Southern Baptists. That's what is so alarming about this, that liberalism has infected the body politic of Christ. And what has happened is that they've turned churches into centers for social work. The social gospel.
Redistribution of wealth.
Right. And basically taking money from the white portion of the population and distributing it to the non-white portion of the population and calling that the Great Commission rather than that's what their evangelism is now. It's evangelism for leftism, not evangelism for Christianity. And it's time for people to understand what is happening. It's no wonder that people are disillusioned with the organized church. And when people ask for a loaf and are given a stone, and when they ask for a fish and are given a serpent, they look elsewhere for spiritual nourishment.
When we come back, folks, we are going to blast the Protestant so-called leaders here in America. And later on this hour, we're going to blast the Pope. So we're equal opportunity in that regard. We're going to blast Protestants and Catholics alike. And if you want to read the entire article about Adam Gray and the decline of white Christians in America, go to thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test, free, scientifically proven today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, Keith Alexander sent to me a predictable headline, to be sure, this week, but one we would like to share with you nonetheless. In the local fish wrap, the Communist Appeal here in Memphis, our daily newspaper, the headline read, Memphis religious leaders unite behind forest statue removal. And the subheader read, Memphis religious leaders have joined the business community in support of the city's bid to remove the statue of the Confederate general. Keith, you actually read the whole thing, and you know whose names were on that list. I have much more to add to this story, but we'll first let you take it away from there.
Three groups, basically. One, Jews, who are, of course, not Christians, but the head rabbi and all the assistants at each of the three main synagogues in Memphis were signees, of course. Then mainline Protestants, Presbyterians, Episcopalians, Methodists, Lutherans, Disciples of Christ, what used to be the Congregationalist Church, all of those groups, all of the new swinging, what's happening now, baby churches, the mega churches like Life Church and Hope Presbyterian, they were there, but the thing that is alarming is that the largest Southern Baptist church in the world had its head pastor sign. He is also the currently serving moderator of the Southern Baptist Convention.
He's the president of the Southern Baptist Convention.
Well, whatever you, he's basically the Southern Baptist Pope.
And he was the one, though, that also broke the rules and ushered in a fourth vote to make sure the condemnation of the alt-right was passed at the most recent Southern Baptist Convention.
We're talking, of course, about Steve Gaines. Steve Gaines looks like the Pillsbury Doughboy after spending a month at the Golden Corral. And he was brought in to replace Adrian Rogers when Adrian Rogers' health failed shortly before his death. And, of course, he can't hold a candle to Adrian Rogers, who basically was Horatio at the bridge back in the 1980s. I know this is before James's time, but it wasn't before mine.
Well, I was born in 80.
I remember when the Southern Baptist Convention was struggling mightily with a power struggle. And Adrian Rogers, representing the conservatives in the church, won. He became the president or the moderator, whatever they called it back then, of the Southern Baptist Convention. And he proceeded to drive not only the money changers from the temple, but the liberals and moderates out of the seminaries and out of the churches.
But like everything else in this godforsaken society, alas, progress ensued.
Well, it's like the hate crime law. It came up before Congress 43 times and was voted down 43 times. But on the 44th try, it was passed, and now it's as if Moses had brought it down on a tablet from Mount Sinai. Well, same thing with the liberalism that has now infected the Southern Baptist Church. The great, what they call it, the long march through the institutions of cultural Marxism has proceeded through all denominational headquarters. I remember Eddie and James being alarmed when this was happening several months ago. I said, what made you think that your denomination would be exempt from the forces of evil, from the forces of cultural Marxism, from the forces of liberalism?
It grinds
slow, but it grinds exceedingly fine.
All right.
Well, and see, that's what they do. It's just they will eventually wear you down, take you over, just like the devil. They never sleep. They're never discouraged. And they are relentless.
All right, here's what we've got. So basically, the headline would lead you to believe that every clergy member in the city of Memphis is against the forest statue. But out of that 150 who signed on to be behind the removal, once you remove all of the so-called black reverends and every
at least half of the signees are black reverends. And, of course, that's a very conservative position for a black person to take. Blacks go with the Democrats and with liberalism, not because they're liberal, but because they're illiberal. They are the beneficiaries. They're the special wards and beneficiaries of all this liberal largesse. So all they're doing is voting in their own interest they vote for a liberal position like this.
So out of the 150, you got to discount the blacks, and every black in Memphis is a reverend. And you've got to discount the rabbis, and you've got to discount the so-called female pastors. Now, I even saw some so-called Baptist churches with female pastors. Now, we talked about this last year. A woman is not to be the head of a household, much less the head of a church, or in the case of Hillary Clinton, which we caught a lot of guff for in the media, certainly not the head of a nation.
Maybe somebody can tell us out there in the audience, has there been an official change in the position of the Baptist church?
I saw these Baptist churches with female reverends and doctors.
Well, I told you, First Baptist Church, which is one of the oldest one in the city of Memphis, had its main campus on East Parkway in Memphis. Well, there was a great power struggle, and the church split in two. The liberal part, the smaller part, stayed in the old digs on East Parkway. The larger, more conservative part split off and is now in the suburbs. But in that liberal part, I do remember a woman named Laura Jobe, who was the wife of an ophthalmologist. No, not an ophthalmologist. What is the type of doctor? Orthopedic surgeon here in Memphis, who left her husband, by the way. One of her daughters for an adulterous affair. Well, anyway, what happened was there were a lot of articles about her brilliant daughter that wanted to be a Baptist minister, and alas, she couldn't do it because of the bigotry and hatred inherent in the Southern Baptist faith. And apparently, they have now, you know, like water on a rock, they've got women preachers in certain Baptist churches in town now. Although I have never heard it announced that the Baptist church had changed its position on women preachers.
It will preach against any sin that the world will allow it to preach against. And once the world says it wants you to stop talking about that, people like Steve Gaines shut up and take their orders. As A.W. Tozer put it, quote, "Religion today is not transforming people. Rather, it is being transformed by the people. It is not raising the moral level of society. It is descending to society's own level and congratulating itself that it has scored a victory because society is smilingly accepting its surrender." That perfectly sums up the Southern Baptist. Now, with regard to the 150 clergy, so-called clergy.
Silence is deafening on gay marriage, for example.
Well, they barely talk about that anymore, and abortion either. But you take out the blacks, the rabbis, and the so-called female pastors, you still have a remnant of white male cucks on there. Steve Gaines at the forefront of that. But don't be fooled into thinking that it is by any means a consensus. But that's what you've got. Now,
on the other hand, we have a lot more than 150 churches in Memphis or
religious
bodies. Well,
there's two. If you walk out to the end of my driveway, you can see two churches within eyesight. I mean, there is a church literally on every corner here. So 150 might sound like a lot for a city maybe like Seattle, Washington. But here in Memphis, there is literally a church every block.
And see, what they're not telling you is that so many people are not enfranchised when it comes to public opinion. Well, people don't seem to understand that what the public thinks about these issues really doesn't matter when liberals, particularly Jewish liberals, own all of the media, when they own the newspapers, the newspaper companies, when they own the radio stations and the television stations. You're going to have a minority position presented to the world as a majority position. That's what has happened. And what is happening still, and for example, this is an incredible truth that I read earlier this week. A majority of black people, not a majority, but more black people are in favor of keeping the Confederate statues as they are than pulling them down. 44% say leave them up, 40% say take them down, and 12% or so are undecided.
We'll be back. We're going to stay one more segment on this, then we're going to get on the Pope. After that, in the second hour, we're going to get to DACA, amnesty, and Trump, our positions on that, and we're going to remind you our chronological association with the Trump campaign and then the Trump administration. It's all coming up later. Stay tuned. It's going to be a wild ride tonight.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. Amid all the devastation in Florida caused by the hurricane comes word that 8 people have died in a Florida nursing home. When the lights went out, there was no air conditioning. There was an insufficient number of portable generators. An investigation has been launched. Many years ago at a seminar, the then head of the National Hurricane Center, Dr. Neil Frank, warned that if a hurricane ever went straight north through Florida, with the amount of elderly people there to evacuate, the results could be horrific. They were horrible, but not as bad as they could have been. Despite losses the Democratic Party suffered in November of 2016, since then in 4 congressional elections, the party refuses to admit that the American people are rejecting their message. Instead, many Democratic leaders, such as Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, continue to advocate their issues. Sanders introducing the single-payer bill, calling it Medicare for all. The bottom line is that whatever they call it, the concept, according to some, is still socialized medicine. Of course, no matter who is in or out of power, the outs still continue to campaign. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
For commentary and insights on a troubled world delivered to your inbox weekly, think Joel Skousen's weekly Internet News Analysis Service. Subscribe today to this one-of-a-kind news source, WorldAffairsBrief.com.
10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
Who taught you skip stones?
My dad.
Family. Isn't it about time?
He must be good.
Yeah, my mom taught him.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, okay, so we're talking this hour about the 150 so-called clergy members of Memphis who are behind, who have sent a letter in asking for the state to remove the Nathan Bedford Forrest, really his grave. They want to desecrate his grave. It's not just his monument, which it is the most beautiful and finest
example of sculpture that you're going to find.
Absolutely. It is the most regal and stately equestrian monument you'll ever find, and I mean that. There is nothing that can compare. Many are good, but nothing is better. But it's more than that. It's also the grave of General Forrest and his wife. And so you've got 150 so-called clergy that want that removed in Memphis. But once you take out the black reverends, the rabbis, and the so-called female pastors, you're left with a few cucks. And the president of the Southern Baptist Convention is one of them. Now, this is a man who is spiritually unfit, physically unfit, just another weakling trying to appease the world. Now, we read the A.W. Tozer quote just a moment ago about how the world is transforming Christianity rather than Christianity.
And Tozer was a noted Baptist divine in the last century, well, in the 20th century as well.
Much more about Steve Gaines, though. Now, Steve Gaines is the 61st president of the Southern Baptist Convention, and he officiated their 2017 annual meeting in Arizona. During that event, he pulled out all the stops to get a resolution passed that condemns the so-called alt-right. After the resolution committee rejected it, and after it was rejected on the floor twice, he said, we are going to stay until we get this right, which means he was going to break any rules.
And he was totally silent. The silence was deafening about Antifa or Black Lives
Absolutely
Matter, who were the real sources of terrorism. Violence and terrorism at, for example, the Charlottesville rally.
Well, and as we reminded people back in July, immediately after, I might add, the convention where Steve Gaines pulled out all of these stops to condemn white people, his fireworks display at Bellevue Baptist Church was ruined by mob violence. Now, if you go to Bellevue, basically the whole show is, what can we do for the ghetto? What can we do for minorities? What can we do to redistribute wealth?
Bellevue loves Memphis, which really translates into Bellevue loves blacks.
Now, they will say a few words about Jesus sprinkled in, but it's mostly a redistribution of wealth campaign. It's mostly a, listen, if you don't hate your grandparents, if you're not ashamed of your grandparents, and if you're a Southern Baptist. Now, Steve Gaines was born in Corinth, Mississippi. I don't know if you know that. He has to have ancestors who fought bravely and gallantly for the South.
He's decided to follow the path of least resistance, which is to be a liberal. If you want to be a liberal, if you're going to be a liberal today, you will be on the receiving end of the gravy train of society. He's figured that out.
Well, here's the thing. So he's born in Corinth, Mississippi. We all know about the Battle of Corinth. He has to have ancestors who fought for the South. But he, what?
Of course, at Corinth, we had the Battle of Fallen Timbers, which was the first really great battle in which Nathan Bedford Forrest distinguished himself.
Well, I have my paternal side. The paternal side of my family is from Corinth, and one of my ancestors fought in the Battle of Shiloh from Corinth, buried in Corinth now. Private Levi Smith of the Confederate Army, Mississippi Battalion.
Well, let me say real quickly what Forrest did at Fallen Timbers. Fallen Timbers, he was covering the retreat of the Southern Army from Shiloh. He attacked the Union forces that were bearing down on the Southern Army. He led the attack and found out suddenly that his troops weren't following him, and he was surrounded by Union troops firing at him. He hacked away at them with his sword and shot at them with his pistol. Then he grabbed a Union soldier, threw him over his back as he rode off, and bullets from the Yankees who were shooting at him hit that guy in the back and killed him, and he dropped him off. That shows you what type of manly soldier Nathan Bedford Forrest was. He was a guy that could take on the entire Union forces
and
Shiloh and come out alive.
And we know what General Sherman, who said he would sacrifice 10,000 men in the entire Union treasury to capture Forrest. He judged Forrest during his court-martial. He was found not guilty. Now, if Forrest's biggest adversary at the time could found him guilty of no sin, who is Steve Gaines? Who is Steve Gaines, a man who has never fought for anything in his life, a man who wouldn't stand up for anything that the world wouldn't allow him to stand for? Who is he to pass judgment on a hero, on an American war hero? There is nobody that fought like Forrest. Certainly not some...
Well, the thing is, Steve Gaines really doesn't care what the truth is. The truth is what other people perceive it to be. And if black people are... let's scrap that, first of all. It's not black people. More black people want to keep the Confederate monuments up than want to take them down. It is the activist group of left, hard radical leftists that are endorsed and empowered by Jewish power and influence that say that Forrest was an evil man and they won't hear any contrary argument to it. And if that is the current wisdom on the subject, then Steve Gaines is 100% behind it, even if it's a lie, even if he knows it's a lie.
If you go to a church like Bellevue Baptist Church, whatever happened to honor your father and your mother, if you go to a church that teaches you that you must be ashamed of your ancestors, you must be ashamed of your grandparents in order to be a Christian, you leave that false church, you leave that apostate church as quickly as you can.
What type of fool believes that he is a better Christian than his grandparents or great-grandparents?
A man like Steve Gaines, a so-called man like Steve Gaines, is not fit to pass judgment on Nathan Bedford Forrest. Are you even kidding me? And this is the guy who, right after the Southern Baptist Convention in Phoenix this summer, where he broke the rules to denounce the alt-right after the convention had voted three times not to do it, he said, by God, on the fourth time, we'll get it right or you're not going to leave here.
He hotboxed the entire convention.
But a bunch of black teens ruined his fireworks display at his church with brawling, fist fighting, and gunfire. So that's
despite that shameful display at the Southern Baptist Convention in Arizona, the primary black spokesman within the Southern Baptist Convention, nonetheless, after it was all over, denounced Steve Gaines, turned his back, and said he hadn't done enough. This shows you what comes of all this pandering. The problem with Steve Gaines, Russell Moore, and these other Church of What's Happening Now baby-type Southern Baptists, harking back to Flip Wilson's famous character back in the 60s, the Church of What's Happening Now baby, is this. As with everything else that's wrong with the world, it is sin. The sin of Steve Gaines and Russell Moore is covetousness, the 10th commandment. They covet a flock of black sheep when God has given them a flock of white sheep. They do not want to pastor or shepherd the flock that God has given them. And that's the whole problem.
And they're scared to death
of
being called. Well, Russell Moore's a change agent. I think Steve Gaines is just literally a cuck.
I saw through him from the very moment he was announced to the world as being the replacement for Adrian Rogers. I told you at that time that he was a change agent.
Now, nobody wants to go to a church where they have to feel guilty for being who they are. And that's all that is just a bunch of white guilt nonsense that you get at these churches. Since Steve Gaines has come on the watch at Bellevue, average Bible study attendance has dropped from 8,000 to under 5,000. Average 9:30 a.m. worship attendance has dropped from over 5,000 to 3,000. And average 11 a.m. worship attendance has dropped from 4,000 to 2,000. So those are pretty steady drops. And nobody wants to go and be told that they have to hate their ancestors in order to be a good Christian.
And hate themselves. Well, folks, the Rubicon has been crossed now. What are you going to do? I'm going to tell you what I suggest you do, and James can tell me whether he endorses this or not. I think that you need to get out of any church that has a pastor that voted to remove Nathan Bedford Forrest's statue. I think that you need to...
Who would you rather follow? Who, as a man, who would you rather lead you and your family? A man like Nathan Bedford Forrest or Robert E. Lee or a man like Steve Gaines or Russell Moore? You pick. Pick which one.
Well, there's no choice to be made. Of course, it's Robert E. Lee and Nathan Bedford Forrest. Now, two men that were much more godly than either Steve Gaines or Russell Moore or any of their Church of What's Happening Now.
Much more courageous. Any attribute that makes a man, they had it 100 times more than these people who believe that they can pass judgment on two of the greatest Americans.
And you've got two choices. You can either leave that church, get away from that apostasy, go to a church that really embraces the true gospel, not the social gospel, or you can stay within it, not tithe, not give offerings. Give your offerings to causes that really are Christian in their essence. Give that, you know, you can figure out things like that. For example, the Political Cesspool radio show. We're Christians and we hold to the true faith. This is the type of thing you're going to have to do, because the only sound a liberal fears is the click of a closing purse. If you shut off the money to Steve Gaines and Bellevue Baptist Church, for example, they will squeal like a stuck pig.
We'll be right back with more. We're going to get on the Pope, and we're only leading up to the grand finale of this hour with what's coming up in the next segment. And then we will, as promised, and as so many have asked, we'll give you our opinion on Trump, DACA, amnesty, nationalism, etc. That's in the second hour. Stay tuned.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's LibertyNewsRadio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
We like to impart some wisdom on our audience, and we like to give you good quotes. And we gave you a great quote last week. We've given it many times from Hutton Gibson on tolerance. You can check it out by Googling Hutton Gibson tolerance political cesspool. And you can read that there. We recited it last week. We gave you the quote from A.W. Tozer in the last segment. Here's one from Dorothy Sayers that I think is applicable to all of these cuck apostate so-called preachers in the Christian faith these days. In the world, it's called tolerance, but in hell, it's called despair. The sin that believes in nothing, cares for nothing, seeks to know nothing, interferes with nothing, enjoys nothing, hates nothing, finds purpose in nothing, lives for nothing, and remains alive only because there's nothing for which it will die. And I think that sums up people like Steve Gaines. He's making $500,000 a year.
At least.
Cucking his guts out. And the people he's condemning are people who risk their lives, their homes. They risked everything to fight for a cause greater than himself. He wouldn't have that much honor and heroism in him. There's no way in the world. And that's why the Confederates are heroes, and he's a pathetic.
Well, he won't stand up for the true faith. He's not going to be one who is going to rock the boat. He has bowed before Baal, the new god. The new god of the new age. He is the personification of why we say here at the Political Cesspool that liberalism is the modern face of evil. If you want to know whether your church is on a true biblical path or whether they have veered into heresy and apostasy, just ask yourself this question. Are they liberal? Do they support liberal positions? Do they support liberal outreach?
And what courage does it take for Steve Gaines to get up on the pulpit and recite the MSNBC line, to recite the line of corporate America? That's what you're getting with regards to heritage and identity. For, you know, and I hear all of this stuff from the Southern Baptists all the time about the people who are making the church, people who are the trailblazers in the faith, and you'll hear about sub-Saharan Africans, you'll hear about Hispanics. You won't ever hear, the one group you'll never hear about is the people who actually made the church, white Europeans, white Christians. That is the bedrock upon which the church was built.
All of the outreach is going to non-whites, and all the money for the outreach comes from whites. This is just another redistribution of wealth plan. The churches have been subverted into just another group of liberals doing social work in the world. Saving souls is no longer important. Filling bellies with food and sending money to third world hellholes like Haiti and South Africa is important. We've got to understand why it is that white people still support institutions like this, not why our leaders have gone wrong. We know why the leaders have gone wrong. They've been seduced by money and power. Why do normal people continue to go to these churches? I've given this long, hard
comfort,
thought.
Familiarity. It's what they've always done. It's what their parents did. I mean, all of that factors
in. Well, more than that, we have people that are slaves. We've had a change in American society so that most people are wage slaves. They have a job. They are beholden to their boss. If their boss, their supervisor, whoever it is, doesn't endorse their opinions, they can lose their livelihood and lose their wealth, lose their standing in society, and therefore they cuck. They trim their sails. They go along to get along.
Yeah, that's true.
And see, it was Thomas Jefferson that said that Americans... A republic could only be sustained by a population of yeoman farmers who were economically independent.
Well, and the one thing, too, Keith, that we have to remember is that membership in the Southern Baptist Convention has declined for 10 consecutive years. Baptisms under Southern Baptist churches has declined for 10 consecutive years. You don't have to search long to figure out why that is. And, of course, membership at Bellevue has bled by the thousands since Steve Gaines came on the watch. But we got to talk about the Pope here. So people are leaving, but some people are staying, and they shouldn't. And I think the future as Christians should be home churches. We're going to have to go to home churches or
home find, Bible studies
or find a small local congregation that is a Bible-centered, Christ-centered church that doesn't teach you
and be very vigilant. Listen closely to what your pastor says.
All right, here's what we've got, Keith, on the Pope very quickly, because we said we would get to this. The headline reads, Jewish leaders, and this was the headline from August 31st, that was a couple of weeks ago, Jewish leaders meet Pope Francis to commemorate the decree repudiating the idea that Jews killed Jesus. All right, let's talk about that very quickly. So basically, a delegation of Jewish leaders met with Pope Francis to mark the event and deliver a response to the landmark document that says that Jews bear no guilt in the killing of Jesus. Well, what really happened? They freed Barabbas. Let's not listen to the apostate Pope. Let's see. What did God say about it? What did God say about it? I got it right
My
here.
My goodness, we have sacred text that we can resort
to. And you need to go back to the King James Version, because that's just the way God spoke it. But anyway, God said this in Matthew chapter 27, verses 24 through 26. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Then released
and
he Barabbas.
And that crowd was Jewish.
Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. So what I'm saying is, God says that the Jews did kill Jesus. Now, if they're saying that the Jews alive today bear no guilt in that, you could argue that, but what I say is, if whites must pay an inherited sin tax for all of eternity for the so-called sin of slavery, then Jews should pay the same for killing Christ. I think that's only fair.
And for slavery, too, because they were the primary slave merchants.
But let's go back to this whole thing that the Jews had nothing to do with the death of Jesus. Take it back to Pilate and the whole situation there as it
okay,
was.
Okay, Pontius Pilate was a governor. He was like a manager of a Walmart. Caesar was... Sam Walton, or the head of Walmart back in Bentonville, Arkansas, was the equivalent of Rome. Pontius Pilate was supposed to run his particular Walmart so it turned a profit for home headquarters in Rome. And what happened...
This is a southern analogy.
Yeah, this is a good southern analogy. So this is what was happening. Pontius Pilate had to keep peace. The Romans, by ancient standards, were pretty benevolent dictators. They would allow you to keep your religion as long as you recognized their temporal authority and paid them taxes and didn't undermine the authority of their temporal rulers. So, Pontius Pilate was always walking a high wire act because the Jews were the most contentious province in the Roman Empire. They were always revolting, always raising hell about one thing or another. Now, Pontius Pilate realized that if he let Jesus go and didn't get the endorsement of the religious leaders of Judaism at the time, and Rome had to send over troops to quell a rebellion, he would eventually be called to Rome by Caesar, and Caesar would say, what was this kerfuffle about in Palestine? And he would say, well, there was this one guy that the religious leaders wanted me to put to death, but I didn't think he was guilty, so consequently I wouldn't put him to death, and they revolted, and that's why you had to spend millions of dollars to come over
Easier
here and put it in.
Easier for Pontius to give him over than... Yeah.
But on the other hand, Pontius Pilate did try to use psychology. He said, this is a feast day, and I can let one person go. Who should I let go? Barabbas, the worst guy in the jailhouse, or Jesus?
The sinless Son of God.
And they said, give us Barabbas. And he said, then what should I do with Jesus? They said, crucify him. And he was disgusted at this point and washed his hands.
I think if you look at Mel Gibson's interpretation of that historical moment in the movie Passion of the Christ, it's a pretty good take of what that probably looked like as Keith bites into his apple there on the mic. But that was it. And I think the whole thing of let his blood be on us and our children, hasn't that been interesting as history has played out
and
in the
you
last
know,
2,000
it's,
years?
It's very, for most of the 2,000 years since the death of Christ, Christians have believed that we are the true bearers of the covenant
the church
relationship.
Is the real Israel.
That's right. Up until the time of Christ, Jews had the one true religion, but the one true religion followed Christ, and therefore, after the death of Christ, Christians were the one true religion.
Great article that we reposted at thepoliticalcesspool.org by Travis Hale of the website altrightchristian.com with regards to who is the true Israel. Is it the Jews who have rejected Christ, or is it the church? And we
and of course, up until the time of John Darby, who was a Scottish theologian back in the 1820s, that was the Orthodox teaching of almost all churches. In fact, it still is the Orthodox teaching of many churches up to this day, including the Catholic Church. But fundamentalists to be a fundamentalist, to be a Protestant, you have to have two foundational principles. One is sola scriptura, only the scripture, and two, every man a priest. Well, if it's sola scriptura, you can't change the Bible every 10 years, which is what fundamentalists have done. The Scofield Bible is now their foundational Bible, and Scofield, unfortunately, was an advocate of John Darby, and that's where all this Jewish dispensationalism came into the fold. You need to use the King James Original Version Bible as your Bible. Do not accept any substitute.
Every article we posted to thepoliticalcesspool.org this week pertained to the topics of this hour. Check them out, especially the one posted on Thursday. We got to take a break. We'll be back. It's back to contemporary politics, Trump, DACA, amnesty on TPC.
To come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.